Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful that you are back for another episode. Please do take note that all opinions and recommendations and encouragements that are shared on this podcast are my personal opinion or the opinion of the guests that I have on. It is not to be taken as medical or mental health advice. Please do consult your medical professional or your mental health professional with any questions or changes that you would like to make regarding your own personal situation. Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so excited that you are back for another episode. I never take it for granted that you come back, that you listen, that you lend your time to hear incredible content, value-added conversations, and I really believe I have the best audience ever, and I'm just so glad that you are here and that you give feedback via the Apple Podcast platform by leaving a review, as well as sending emails to successfuldiligence.com/contact. Or the most fun is when you send those voicemail messages by clicking the link in the show notes. I personally answer every email and every voice message, and I just love interacting with you. So keep it coming because you all are amazing. Today's episode is a special one. I have someone here to chat with us about a really important concept, and his name is Emil Matea. And he is from another continent, which I'm so excited about. This is my first time interviewing someone from South Africa, and I'm so excited to hear what he has to say. He is an inner critic coach. And what that means is that he helps people start their dream business or career and really just get over that little voice in their head that's holding them back, either through fear, worry, or self-doubt. And he does this through a five-step process that he calls the LICCA, L-I-C-C-A method. And I cannot wait to hear about this. Now, it is a simple method that can be used anywhere a person wants to make change, which is really cool because then you can apply it and implement it anywhere that you want to make change. Now, Emil also helps people build that very special relationship that they need to have with themselves, and that will help make their dreams come true. Now, Emil wants to see a world where 80% of the people are positive, forward-thinking people who love what they do, following their unique path. And I would argue we can get to more than 80%. But Emil, welcome to the show. I am so excited to have you on.
Thank you, Michelle, for that amazing introduction. And I am so, so excited to be here.
Well, I cannot wait for my audience to get to know you better and also for me to learn more as well, because what you do is very unique and I love that you have a method to the madness, as they say. So for my audience who is getting to know you a little bit, tell us who you are beyond the bio and how you came to do the work that you do.
Awesome. I would love to. So how I actually came to do the work that I do and how I also discovered this amazing process that we'll probably dive into a bit later. I always had this voice in my head, this little voice that always told me, you know, nobody likes you. It could be my best friend. It could be my parents, anybody. The voice will always tell me nobody likes you. And growing up, I grew up having extremely low self-esteem, even though I had the most amazing parents I could ask for. I mean, the parents that did everything to make sure we were happy. But I still had this low self-esteem. And I went through school, my whole school career with this. And till about in my middle 20s, I actually discovered that, you know, the coaching industry actually existed. And in the coaching industry, I connected with a life coach, and I first connected with her to tell her, listen, I have this problem. I feel I'm not as confident as I would like to be. I'm not pursuing my dreams. I'm not doing what I feel I was put on this planet to do. And she's like, okay, awesome. Let's get into it. So while we were busy working, about 2 months into our process, we finally got to the main core of where this little voice comes from. And when I actually discovered this, this is when I knew I had to share this with the world. People had to know this. Now, where my little voice actually came from is when I was in grade 2, grade 3, somewhere around there, I had a crush on a girl in my class. Now, back then, you know, you would get like a little letter, you would write, will you? And it was, by the way, it wasn't Valentine, it was in February, it was Valentine's Day. So I got this little letter together, will you be my Valentine, with like the yes and no box. I got the flower, I got the chocolate. And I thought, all right, awesome. I'm going to ask this girl to be my Valentine, the first girl I've ever asked to be my Valentine. And the day came, my mom dropped me off at school. I was extremely nervous. I was excited. I had very mixed feelings. I walked into the school grounds. My class was on the second story. So I walked slowly up the stairs. My heart was beating fast. And I thought, all right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And eventually I got to the top and I saw one of my friends. And I thought, all right, to calm my nerves, I'm just going to have a conversation with him and, you know, wait for the girl to show up. And as she walked up the stairs, she walked towards me. I thought, all right, this is it. I'm going to do it. And I looked her in the eyes. I gave her the letter. I gave her the rose, the chocolate, everything. And I asked her, will you be my Valentine? You know what she said? I don't know because I ran away just before she answered. I couldn't take the nerves off. She might be saying no. So I actually like ran away, ran down the stairs, got onto the rugby field, and I just like sat there. I felt like a complete idiot and I just sat there. And eventually the bell rang. I had to go back to class. I had to face the music. So I made my way back to class. I thought to myself, all right, cool. Let's just get this class over with. When we get out of class, I'll just ask her and you know what's her response and that will be it. As I walked into class, I saw her standing in front of the class with a group of her friends. And as soon as she saw me, she walked straight up to me and she looked me in the eyes and she told me, who would ever like anybody like you? And the entire class started laughing at me.
Oh my goodness.
And, true story. And since that day, I had this little voice in my head, who would ever like you? And after I came to the realization that this voice inside of me, this voice that has been beating me up for years and years and years, it was not who I am. It was so liberating that words can't even describe it. And I knew in that moment that I had to teach other people that the voice that keeps you back, the voice that tells you you might not be good enough, would ever like somebody like you? Who? What are you thinking? What will people think of you? That voice has been taught to you by your parents, by your peers, by, you know, your friends. It
a mean
is not
classmate.
Who you are. Classmate, exactly. And the problem was, though, I had this amazing epiphany, but I did not know how can I actually help other people discover this little voice. And as in a year or two later on, I got into business, working for myself, I got mentors, and I started really extremely working on myself. And this is where I actually developed the Lika method. And it was just to make it as simple as possible to help people overcome this little voice and replace it with another voice that is also inside of you, that is the true version of who you are. Now, you can say that voice is God or the universe or whoever you believe in might speak to that voice, but there is a different voice inside of you that's craving to get out. The problem is it's just extremely soft. You can't really hear it. It like whispers to you. And that is more or less my journey.
This is fascinating to me because, first of all, I love that you were able to get to the root of where that voice came from, tracing it all the way back to childhood, to that mean girl who was not telling the truth, but yet I think started you on your journey because you almost needed that experience to get to be where you are now to be able to give the gift of what you know. But how did you trace back to discover that that was the root of that voice?
That's an awesome question, by the way. Thank you for asking that. It was actually a whole experience. So a coach actually guided me through it. But funny enough, for years I had that moment played in my head. All right. Not every day, but now and again, the moment would come in, but you write it off. Generally you say, oh, you know what? It's nothing. You were young. So when we actually got to talking, I told my coach about, you know, this small event that I feel might have something to do with it, but I'm not really sure. And she actually taught me a process, a meditative type of process that you go into to actually discover it. And this is a process that I actually teach my clients, because every single person I've taught it to, it's made like a massive difference in their lives. And that's how I actually discovered, wow, this is actually where everything came from, especially when I replayed a scenario and I actually heard those exact words and I thought, well, that's actually what my voice is telling me. And I just had this feeling deep down that that is the root. That's where everything came from.
That's so interesting, because that voice wasn't yours. It was one that you heard and adopted. And it's so fascinating to me, the courage and strength that people have to discover the roots of those trees that grow in our lives that often, like you say, hold us back, or even finding those roots where we can then begin to prosper and grow into the people that we're supposed to be. Because as you said, there's the voice that doesn't belong to you that we so often believe, but then right beside it is that little whisper of the right voice that we're supposed to nurture and grow into our greatness, into what we were really put here on earth to do. So I absolutely love that. It's so fascinating. So talk to me about before you started coaching, right? Before you developed the LICA method, what was your relationship with yourself? Like, how did you treat yourself? How did you talk to yourself? What was that like?
Destructive, extremely destructive. So to give you an idea of what was my relationship with myself, I always, you know, had this feeling I never fitted in. I always was lonely. I always felt different. And I always felt like it was my fault why I was different. So what actually happened was in high school, like probably most kids in high school, is the biggest thing that they want, well, two biggest things that they generally want, is to fit in, to be in the popular group, and to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend. That is like normal. So I always thought that because of this little voice, that if I can get a girlfriend, then, you know, I will get the feeling of belonging and that voice will go away. So eventually on 16, I did get my very first girlfriend, but it was a very destructive relationship. To the point, we dated for 2 years. And then after that relationship, the relationship I had with myself was at such a point that I felt I deserved to have emotional pain. And I actually got addicted to emotional pain. So what I would do is I would hurt the people closest to me, or I'll make people fall in love with me just to hurt them so they can hurt me back to get that pain. And that was mainly the relationship I had with myself. I was very negative, very pessimistic, until one day one person just snapped me out of it. But that's more or less the relationship I had with myself back then.
Interesting. So that's so fat, because it's so interesting, because it's not the relationship you have with yourself now, right? Obviously. Mm-hmm. But from that voice that didn't belong to you, that you believed, came a version of yourself that is not true. And what is so interesting to me is that, and I really believe this, listeners, I don't know if I've said this before, but I really believe that who we are at the core, the truth of who we are, is going to come out. Other people see it, even if we don't see it. And even if we self-sabotage, or even if we are destructive in our relationship with others and ourselves and self-fulfilling prophecy, who we truly are is coming out, and other people will be able to see it, recognize it, and help us along the path, as you, Emil, had, you know, with your coach who helped you discover the root and overcome. And then we begin to flourish. And so talk to me about the journey of how you developed the relationship that you have now with yourself. And what does that look like?
So where that all started was actually back when I was about 21 years old. It was about 3 years after I went to the deepest, darkest time in my life, which we just talked about. And I was actually on site. By that time, I was working for an internet installations company, and we had to pull network cables between the 10th and 11th story of a building in Johannesburg. So what actually happened was we ran into a problem. So there was one of the thick steel beams that was actually holding up the structure of the entire building. We couldn't get past it. Now, we can't drill through it because it's a structural beam. And so we tried a lot of different things. To make a long story short, eventually I phoned my manager. I told him, listen, ran into a problem, can't get through it. Can you help us? He's like, no worries. I'll be on site. Give me about 10 to 15 minutes. So we waited for him. And one thing you have to know about this guy is he's extremely calm. He is one of the nicest people I've ever met in my entire life. That day, though, I saw a different version of him. And I'm going to explain to you why. So he caught on site and he looked at the problem, and for every solution he gave me, I gave him a reason why that solution wouldn't work. Like I was very pessimistic. I only looked at the problems. And by probably the fifth time I did this, if his head was a volcano, it would have exploded. His face literally turned red and he yelled at me in front of everybody. He told me, if you always look at the problem, you'll always find a problem. You'll build a life that you'll hate and you'll regret. And I don't know exactly what it was, but in that sentence that he said, you'll build a life that you'll hate and regret, he managed to pull me out of my past and place me into my future. Hmm. And for a split second, I actually saw that I am going to build this future if I do not make a change. And that was the first ever time that I actually had a massive epiphany to say, I need to make a change. Hmm. Now, this didn't happen immediately. Obviously, I was extremely mad at him for screaming at me in front of everybody. I actually avoided the guy for like 2 weeks after that. If he would walk into the office, I would walk out. So, but 2 weeks later, I actually went back to him and I told him, listen, you made a very valid point and I actually want to change, but I have no idea how. Can you help me? And he actually became the very first mentor I ever had in my life. And he helped me to build the identity ultimately that I have today.
That is so interesting, because what you described, I call the lightning bolt of truth, right? When someone says something that like gets through all of the layers and hits deep in your core of truth. And what you did versus what other people sometimes do is you leaned into that and allowed the truth to speak to you, as opposed to just denying it or swatting it away. And then you did something that took a lot of courage, is that you asked for help. You didn't know what to do with it, right? You knew it was true. You knew you wanted something different. You had no idea where to go from there, but you asked for help. And that takes tremendous courage. And I believe that courage is rewarded with exactly what happened. You get what you asked for. You asked for help. You got help and a mentor, the first one, that started you on your path. And so listeners, if you have a lightning bolt of truth that comes through, lean into it, because it can literally change your life, just like Emil. And I just think that's so incredible. So talk to me now about the LICA method. I'm so interested. What does that acronym stand for? What is it? How do you utilize it? Give me all of the scoop of all the things.
Awesome. I'd love to. So the LICA method, actually, it's a 5-step process, and it's an abbreviation for locate, identify, conscience, change, and adventure. So what I basically did was, when I started into the coaching industry, I also started working with a marketing coach, and he helped us like basically create your unique process. And at that time, I didn't have a process. All I knew was I had to help people through this law of voice. So I looked back on my life and everything that I went through. And I actually just asked myself, how did I actually do this? How did I get to this very point? And that's locate just came from, I first had to locate what the actual problem is, not the surface level problem, not what we all think, like, I don't have money, I don't have time. That's like so surface level, but the actual core deep down problem. And then after that was, I went into identify, where my coach actually helped me identify where does this voice actually come from. So in identify, I help people actually discover where does this voice come from, for the main purpose, not to go back into the past, but to give you just the evidence your brain needs to show you it's not you. It's been taught to you, because most people believe that voice is who they are. And then I went into, all right, how did I change? So I had to become extremely conscious around what supports that low voice. And there's two things, your thoughts and your phrases. That's it. That's the only things we really focus on, is just thoughts and phrases. I always say, if you can control your thoughts and phrases, you control your life, because that's where your subconscious beliefs really comes from. And then we went into change. And change again is, we just change your thoughts and your phrases. But the problem is, and this was when my first business mentor helped me discover the very last step in the process, which is really the secret that I have. The last step is adventure. So adventure is really just, how do you make the change stick? And that is, you make it as fun as humanly possible. You do not beat yourself up. You do not criticize yourself. You love yourself. And you actually just, every time you manage to change a thought or a phrase or whatever it is that you really want to change, when you actually manage to take that step, you just reinforce how awesome you are. How that little smaller step that you just took is one small step closer to the life you really want to live. And this is where you bring in really positive emotions, especially happiness and joy. Because when you really do that, you release a chemical in your brain called dopamine or serotonin, which is that happy feel-good chemical. And if you do this enough times, your brain will actually start saying, oh, if I actually make this change, I feel good about myself. I feel really good about myself. And that automatic process, which we call habit, takes in. And then very soon, within about 3 weeks to a month, your brain will actually automatically start looking for those changes and implement it by itself, just to get that chemical.
Yep, those brain neural pathways, listeners, that you've heard us talk about. I love that. What I really like about your method is it's very... It sounds sort of like a sister or a brother to what they call the self-authoring method by Jordan Peterson, where you trace back to the root. Now, he goes more into like the narrative that you tell yourself and the story about yourself, whereas I think you're more into the practical of locate the voice, the root of the tree, right? And then rather than spend time there, let's move to accepting a new voice, right? The true voice of who you really are, and working with that to implement change in a practical way that is going to then reinforce that positivity in your life to become the best version of yourself, which I absolutely love. And I, you know, as you're talking and this smile comes when you're talking about your method and your work, you can tell that you love what you do, right? And so it just reinforces that you are exactly doing what you're supposed to be doing in the way that you're supposed to be doing it, which was going to happen. And the path that you took, the journey almost back to yourself, had to happen that way so that you could bring that gift to other people. And chat with me a little bit about the journey back to yourself. When you were able to dismiss that voice that wasn't yours and accept the true voice, the truth of who you are, what was that journey like for you?
That journey was very challenging, I can say. It was a real, like, obviously a life-changing journey, but it had a lot of ups and a lot of downs. But the thing I love about that journey was is that I will never replace it. if I had to look back on my entire life, the good, the bad, the everything of my life, there is absolutely, and I can say this with 100% confidence, I do not want a single part of my life over. If you can actually offer me a time machine and say, go back and change a part of your life, I won't change anything, because everything happened how it was supposed to happen. I have no regrets. Yes, I did things that I'm not really proud of, but ultimately those things led me to be the person that I am today, so that I can help others get to the same place where I am today, to say your past is your past. Stop worrying about it. Stop dwelling around on it. Just accept it and build towards your future. And that's really just leaning into the other voice that we really spoke about. Well, not really spoke about, but I call it your inner hero. And that is, like we said, the truest version of yourself. The one that just knows who you are. It doesn't have judgments. It doesn't regret. It just accepts things as it is, and it always looks forward, and it always tries to move you forward rather than looking back and say, oh man, I just wish I had my 18th birthday. I just wish I had that time over. Or I wish I never met this person, just to not have those regrets in your life.
Yeah. You know, you've said a couple times, and it's even in your bio, about forward thinking and being a forward thinker. And I love that, because time doesn't go backwards, right? Time only goes forward, and we can't change the past as much as you would want to. And so I love that you focus on the forward, the future, you know, who you are and who you can be in the future, which is not really predicated on your past. Your past informs you, but it doesn't define you. And I just love that message, because it's true, and it's such a positive, message and frame for others. Let me ask you this though. When you have a client that is similar to who you used to be, that critic, that finding a problem for every solution, really negative, how do you work with that person to either give them a lightning bolt of truth or to help them move past that way of thinking?
I really like that question. And it is, working with a client like that is, I really like it. I actually get really deep into it, because obviously I see myself in that person. And what I really do is with that person is I just really lean into that really deepness of where everything really truly started. And we really, throughout the coaching, we really bring out the two sides of yourself. Like, we really go deeply into the inner critic, which I call your inner villain, and we go really into who you really are, your inner hero. And what I actually do is I like to have that person more focus on the inner villain, funny enough, because that is the identity they believe they are. But somewhere down the line, they click, and it is just generally when it comes to conscience, the step in consciousness, they just clicked that this is not me. This is, someone gave me those words. Someone gave me those beliefs. And that's really like what I like to focus on with them. Where with other people, we really focus on the hero, their best version of themselves, because they lean more in towards that. But knowing that your villain is not who you are is just very powerful. Especially like with a lot of those people, is they live in the past. It is a constantly... the past defines who I am as a person. And we just go into it to say, like, you can't give me evidence that what you did in the past defines what you're going to do tomorrow. It doesn't exist. But it takes more work. It takes a bit more effort to get to that point.
Yeah, because so often, and I don't know what it is, but sometimes people have a challenge to understanding that you don't have to accept every thought, every voice, every message that comes your way or that lives inside of your head. You don't have to accept it, and you can actually replace it with something different. But it's a process, you know, it's a journey, and everyone has their own journey to walk. I just love what you do. Your story is so encouraging. And I just think it's so interesting the journey back to ourselves and understanding ourselves and that relationship with ourselves. So last question before I ask you for your things that we want to take away. Do you think, and if so, why, that the relationship with ourself is the most important one? So if do you think that that's the most important relationship that we have is the one with ourselves? And if so, why do you think that?
I would answer that to say it's one of the two most important relationships that you have. And the reason why I say that is, now I fully believe in God. So for other listeners out there, I really feel it's really important to believe in a higher being, in a creator or some sort, because he really like take cares of the how, the unknown, the things that you're not really in control of. So I feel the relationship you have with that person and relationship with you have with yourself is equally as important. And the reason why I say that is because they both basically balance each other out. So you need to have that relationship in order to have the confidence and belief in yourself to take the steps, to take the actions that you need to make your life, that your dream life, your reality. But you also need to have a relationship with that higher being out there to have that faith, to have that belief, like, listen, no, I can't control what is out of my control, but I have faith everything will work out how it's supposed to work out as long as I do what I have to do. And that is really what I say is, it is one of the most important relationships before every other relationship, even the relationship you have with your parents. You have to have that relationship with yourself. If you do not have that, it's very difficult to have relationships with other people. Now you can, but ultimately what you feel about yourself will ultimately spew into the other relationships you have with other people.
Absolutely. And listeners, you know, I have said over and over again, you cannot give what you don't have. And if you don't have a positive relationship with yourself, you cannot give a positive relationship to someone else. And I agree with you, Emil. I think that the relationship that you have with God, if you have a relationship with God, gives you the courage to explore those dark places of yourself because you're not walking alone. So I love that. So if you had to think about, because we've chatted about so much, but if you had to think about one or two things that you really want the audience to walk away from the conversation remembering, what would those be?
I would just really say the biggest thing for me is know that the voice that's trying to keep you down, it is not you. And I'm going to reinforce this a lot, is always remember that voice is not you. It's, even though you really do believe in it, question the voice a lot. Ask it questions, ask it deep questions, and you'll actually find that there is no physical proof that it's you. There's no physical, because it uses fear, worry, and self-doubt against you, those three big things. And if you actually start asking it questions, you'll actually see it is what we call in psychology, psychological fear. It doesn't exist. It's not real. So that's the biggest thing. And then I also want to add this, and we didn't really talk about it, but when you ask me about when I coach someone that was really like me, I would say, bring out a list. And this is a big takeaway, pull out the list and write down on the top of the list, two columns, write down your payoffs, what you get out of it, and what you sacrifice. All right. So ask yourself, if I had to follow my inner villain, this little critic inside of my head, cool. In 5 years, where will I be in life? Okay, I watch TV, I do all of these little things, all of the things it uses to distract you. Where will you be in 5 years from now? Write it down. And then write down on the other side, if you had to follow who you truly are, you had to do all the things that you do not really want to do, but you know you have to do them, where will you be in 5 years from now? And write that down as well. You'll actually find what you're giving up now, meaning you have to give up TV, you have to give up your free time, whatever it is, versus what you're getting out of it is fair towards you. But if you flip it around and you would follow that inner critic, you'll actually find out what you're getting out of from the inner critic and what you're giving up is really unfair to your life. So if that makes sense, if it doesn't make sense, I can explain it a little bit more, but that's really the biggest takeaways that I would get into it. And the last takeaway that I want to give is always follow your feelings, the deep core, your gut feeling, if I wanted to say. It doesn't make sense most of the time, but it's 9 out of 10 times that feeling is correct and it leads you to where you actually need to go. So I would say follow that feeling with everything you have. I've listened to that feeling too many times in my life for anybody to tell me it's wrong. It literally saved my life many times before. So that's the last thing, is just follow that gut feeling. Whenever your gut tells you something, just listen to it. Don't question it. Don't ask it. Nothing. Just say, okay, cool. I'm going to do it. And then have the faith it will work out.
I love that. I love that. Ask those new questions. Ask those hard questions of that inner critic, because the evidence will not be there that it's true. I love that. And then writing down the positive and negatives, the pros and cons, what you're getting out of it, what you're not getting out of it, and vision casting for both, you know, the inner critic voice, vision casting, what is that going to look like? And then for that positive voice, vision casting, what is that going to look like? And then I call it the knowing, that gut feeling, that conscious, that inner God in us is what it really is. But that knowing that doesn't go away, following that will always lead you to where you need to be. I love those takeaways. Listeners, if you need to rewind and listen again, those are gold nuggets that if you implement will change your life. Just those three things, I think, will bring dynamic enhancement and change to your life. And I just love those takeaways. So Emil, if people are like, this guy's onto something, I need more, I need to learn more about this LICA method, I need to work with him, how can people find you? Where can they connect with you? How can they get in touch?
They can connect with me on Facebook. So they can just search my name, Emil Matias, send me a friend request, or you can connect to my Facebook group, which I call Become Your Own Hero Group. The reason why I say search for my name, because the group name might change. So if you want that, just if you can't find a group, just send me a friend request. I'll send you an invite to the group. But the group's name is Become Your Own Hero. And it's really just about giving the people the power, that relationship with themselves, so no one can take that away from you. So that's the best ways to connect with me.
I love it. And listeners, as you know, I hook you up every episode. Links will be in the show notes so you can click and go. Click and go. Emil, this has been an amazing conversation. I always ask everyone before we end our chat, gratitude. Is it something that has played a part in your journey? And do you have a gratitude practice now?
It is something that played probably one of the biggest parts in my journey. It's huge. And I really love that you end your episodes with that. And yes, I do have a practice for that. A lot of practice that I did is actually two. The one is meditation, just to meditate on what I'm grateful for. And the other one is when problems arise in your life. I always have this thing, this is a big mindset that shift that happened to me, was I always ask myself, what's the blessing in the problem? There's always a blessing. Find the blessing. And ultimately, that will lead you towards the solution. But gratitude is just, it's big. I also end my days in prayer, obviously. And I pray more towards God to say, thank you for everything I have, more than I ask him what I want. I truly believe that when you do pray, you pray one-time prayers. And I actually learned this from a coach of mine, is when you have a need, you go to the word, and you pray once and you believe. And from that point, you don't pray it again. Because if you pray it again, this other little negative energy around us might just think that you did not believe what you prayed for in the first time. So you can rather go back and pray for how he showed up in your life and how he blessed your life. And that will actually bring more blessings out.
I love that. Look for the blessing in the situation, in the problem. Look for the blessing everywhere, because really blessings are around us every single day, every moment of the day. The fact that we're above ground and breathing in and of itself is a blessing, because that gives us another opportunity to keep walking our journey. Oh, Emil, this has been such a satisfying and encouraging conversation. I am so grateful that you had the time to come on the show and introduce you to my audience and to chat about the relationship with ourselves and your journey. Thank you for sharing so transparently. It has just been such a good conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle, for having me. It's been just as amazing on my side.
And listeners, as I always say, keep walking. Always, always keep walking. Never stop walking, because if you continue to walk, you will reach your destiny. You will reach your destination. And on the journey, as always, I encourage you to always, always choose gratitude. As you know, every single episode, I end with my encouragement for you to choose gratitude on your journey as you keep walking. But have you ever asked yourself, that's great, Michelle, but how do I do that? How do I implement gratitude? How do I choose gratitude? It's not easy living this life. And sometimes I don't feel very grateful. How do I incorporate gratitude into my daily life? Well, I've got you covered. Just for you, I have a Gateway to Gratitude mini course in the Successful Diligence School. There is a link in the show notes, as well as a coupon code just for podcast listeners, where you get 50% off. So head to the link in the show notes or successfuldiligence.com and click the school tab on the website. It will take you to the school and you can see the Gateway to Gratitude course, which walks you through how to implement gratitude into your daily life. Trust me, gratitude and gratefulness, when implemented effectively, will change your life. I'll tell you no matter.